Live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan, this is Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show. Monday, September 28th, 2020, here are three big things you need to know. Three. Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Montana and his wife confronted a home intruder who attempted to kidnap their nine-month-old grandchild over the weekend. No one hurt, but a scary situation. The woman under arrest. Two. Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued an executive order Friday requiring young students in much of Michigan to wear masks while in their classrooms. The state had required students in sixth grade and up to wear masks in classrooms all the time and recommended them for younger students. Now, though, the policy expanded to include students in kindergarten through fifth grade. Masks all day long starting October 5th. And number one, President Donald Trump yesterday refused to discuss his tax returns after a report in the New York Times that he paid only $750 in personal federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017. And no income taxes at all 10 of the previous 15 years. Now, didn't we already know most of this? And will this information really change anyone's vote? Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday. This hour, we'll talk with Sparrow Hospital. Also, Ellen Sachs from the University of Texas Arlington joins us during the hour, too. Thanks for being here this Monday after a newsy weekend. We had press conferences from both Joe Biden and Donald Trump on Sunday. We had the announcement of Amy Coney Barrett officially as the president's nominee for the open Supreme Court seat. That happened on Saturday. And now we begin the countdown to confirmation hearings, at least right now. They appear to be set to start on October 12th. Kind of nice, actually, that there has not been a lot of drama about this on the Republican side. Now, yes, immediately after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I should say, there were some questions about whether or not Republicans would move quickly, though Mitch McConnell had said previously, of course we would, and some questions about whether or not enough Republicans would peel off to prevent a vote. And as soon as Mitt Romney essentially said, nope, we're going to do this, that took all the questions out. You don't hear any speculation, really, about whether Republicans have enough votes to push Amy Coney Barrett forward. You don't hear any debate, really, about vulnerable Republicans being pushed. And even over the weekend, I think it was Dick Durbin on ABC saying that there's not much they can do. There's not much Democrats can do to stop this process. Can they slow it down by a couple of hours here or there? Perhaps. But in stopping Republicans from having these hearings and taking a vote before Election Day, there's just not much that can be done. And so the lack of drama on the right, the speed with which Republican senators coalesced around the apparent nominee to begin with, and now the official nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, has been pleasant, hasn't it? I'd say so. All sorts of audio from the weekend. Now, one of the objections that you're going to hear and have heard perhaps from Democrats already is that we're just moving too fast here, just moving too quickly to get to these confirmation hearings, we're moving too quickly to confirm a new justice to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's old position on the U.S. Supreme Court. Don McGahn, who was White House counsel for President Trump from the inauguration through the end of 2018, essentially, and helped shepherd Brett Kavanaugh through this process. Don McGahn was on CBS over the weekend on Face the Nation talking about this timeline and whether or not it's too quick. Asked by the host, is this too fast? Are Republicans moving too fast on this opening? Here's Don McGahn.
I disagree that it's being rushed. I think it actually, if you look at historical precedent, is following regular order. One goes back into history.
It's
one
pretty short timeline. Justice Felix
Frankfurter. Frankfurter went through 12 days start to finish. If you say, well, that's ancient history, what about modern times? John Paul Stevens, who's become a hero of the left, went through 16 days start to finish. Sandra Day O'Connor went through in 33 days start to finish. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg went through 42 days start to finish. So there is time to do it. It is not outside of the norm.
You don't think it's about the election?
Well, I certainly think that there's an imminent election, and obviously everyone's talking about the election. But I think when the president makes a nomination, he's obligated to do so under the Constitution. This has happened 29 times in our history where there's been election year nomination. And it's happened before. It'll probably happen again. And even Justice Kennedy, who many hold up as a model justice, was confirmed and appointed in an election year in 1988 when President Reagan wasn't even on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So this idea that somehow this is out of the norm simply doesn't ring true.
Don McGahn, CBS, over the weekend on Face the Nation, doing a very nice job of clearly delineating why the timeline is appropriate. And Dan McLaughlin will join us in the next hour, senior writer with National Review. He's done a lot of work on this as well, this question of timeline and how quickly these nominations get through the Senate and get a final vote. It's not all that unusual. Of course, it can be done, and Republicans say it will be done. Now, what can Democrats do to stop this? Well, not a whole lot, as some conceded over the weekend. One of the more outlandish proposals comes from, well, no surprise, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's been talking about re-impeaching the president or impeaching Bob Barr, the attorney general, just because he's Bob Barr, I guess. Nancy Pelosi asked about this. I believe this is CNN's Jake Tapper on the question. So Jake Tapper, Nancy Pelosi on this question of whether the House will entertain impeachment once again to perhaps trip up the proceedings in the U.S. Senate. Here's Nancy Pelosi.
And when it comes to individuals like Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who this week did not rule out this long shot effort to try to stall the confirmation of Judge Barrett by impeaching Attorney General Bill Barr. Now, you haven't ruled it out.
I'm not familiar with the suggestion that the distinguished congresswoman made. However, the fact is, the more the public is aware of what this appointment, and by the way, it's not about this justice. It's about any justice he would appoint right now.
That's Nancy Pelosi refusing to rule out the House re-impeaching the president or impeaching Bill Barr to try to derail proceedings in the U.S. Senate. One other cut. We have time for this. It's pretty quick. This is just so ridiculous. And the fact that the media allowed Joe Biden to get away with this is ridiculous. Maybe Chris Wallace will hold his feet to the fire tomorrow night during the debate. Joe Biden yesterday asked about this court packing idea of the Democrats have and whether or not he would be in favor of it. Listen to this, Joe Biden yesterday.
I am not, and I know you're going to be upset with my answer. But what I'm not going to do is play the Trump game, which is a good game he plays. Take your eye off the issue before us. If I were to say yes or no to that, that becomes a big issue. That's the headline here.
Yes. What the Democratic nominee for president believes about a proposal being pushed by serious Democrats could be a big issue if you were to say yes or no. This is what happens when you run for president. Media asks questions. Candidate says, yes, I agree with that, or no, I don't agree with that. I'm not really going to tell you what I think about that because that would be news, and I don't want to make news. Again, tomorrow night at the debate, Chris Wallace. If Chris Wallace doesn't do it, perhaps President Trump can do it and force Joe Biden to say yes or no on that question. Scott Bertram in for Steve on The Steve Gruber Show.
Peppers from Argentina, blueberries from Canada, and corn from Mexico. What are we doing? It's time to wake up, America, support our family farmers, and defend our nation against an invasion of foreign food. It's time you support Patriot Foods. Patriot Foods is an American-only produce brand supporting U.S. farms and donating a portion of every purchase to U.S. veterans. Join the movement to buy American and eat American. Go to patriotfoods.com. Patriot Foods will even ship your order for free. Patriotfoods.com. Patriotfoods.com. The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.
Hi, it's Dan Dickerson here with a special edition of In the Den. This week, we're paying tribute to some of the best baseball minds in Michigan. There are so many baseball coaches in this state who could be honored. We're trying to pick a few who represent the very best our youth baseball coaches have to offer, teaching a game to thousands so their love of the game can continue to be passed on from generation to generation. Today, we're honored to feature Dave Wentzel from Concordia University in Ann Arbor and Oakland Community College in Auburn Hill. For decades, Dave was dedicated to improving the lives of many young men here in Michigan through sports and mentorship at both the high school and collegiate level. He was the first athletic director and head baseball coach at Concordia, and in 2016, Dave was inducted into the Concordia University Hall of Fame. He also built a championship baseball program at OCC, where he stayed until his retirement. At a youthful 87 years old, Dave enjoys watching the Detroit Tigers and spending time with his family. Dave, we thank you for your contributions to Michigan baseball and for having such an impactful, positive influence on so many throughout the